dream last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air.
This is a State of Trance podcast.
Yes, welcome to the studio. My name is Ruben de Ronde with a special guest today, all the way from Helsinki in Finland, Alex Gunnari.
Hey man,
nice how's it going?
Yeah, still alive, man.
Still alive. Thank you again for the guest mix that you did on the show this week.
Yeah, it was amazing. Nice to be here. Really honor.
We have a lot to talk about this episode of the podcast because I have a couple of fan questions for you. And we're just going to talk about the history of Alex Gunnari because you've been making music for more than, well, almost 20 years now. 20 years, more than 20 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, like if we think Modulation first, then Alex Gunnari, now AK, and also like a few other aliases.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a long journey and you're right, like many, many years behind.
Let's start at the very beginning because that's what we do with every podcast. Because there has been a moment in your life that you were like, hey, I want to do something with music. Like what triggered you to dive into the music world that you first wanted to become a DJ, I guess, or first you become a producer?
Well,
what triggered you?
Well, it's a long, long, long story.
Well, we have time. I'm ready. Come on.
let's say like this way that before I had any idea what really this is, I was a dancer.
You were a dancer?
Yeah, exactly. And a breakdance.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching the video stream right now, Alex Gunnari is going to perform some breakdancing for you.
No, straight to hospital.
There we go.
Yeah, okay.
We have a little.
Yeah. A little flash. Yeah, you know, it was back then.
So you were a b-boy.
Yeah, I mean, like it was all about the music. And I didn't have any idea about DJing whatsoever. Just, you know, one night I get a phone call, you know, the normal phone, not the cell phone, but the normal phone.
Ring, which ring, had hello. Normal,
yeah, you know, and you know, is there any chance that you could come over and play in a club because our resident is really sick and can come? Mm-hmm. I was like, to do what?
play what?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have an idea. I didn't know what is a mixer. I only know the music. So I went there, this is a mixer, you do like this, you do like that. And it was 1989.
Yeah.
And we play vinyls. You know, you can't add the vinyls to into your cell phone these days or whatever, you know, sort of black, big, round things.
Yeah.
and I went there and I play each record from beginning
to the end until it was silent.
Exactly. Yeah. And the next one and next one. And after that night, they asked that, you know, would you like to learn how to play music?
But mix it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was like, well, you know, whatever. I have nothing better to do. Why not? Because it was so different. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have anything like that.
There was no comparison. You couldn't compare it to anything.
It was all about the music. And I was like, hey, you know, why not? I have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the day one.
That's actually one of the beginning times, I guess, that people actually started mixing, right?
Yeah.
It was probably in Chicago, Detroit, the techno guys were already spinning records and mixing them together.
Yeah.
But that's the beginning of the mixing culture, I guess.
We play with the vinyls and we had already like, you know, Technics vinyl players.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like really cool, but I didn't have any idea how to mix or, you know, how to count the beats or, you know, 4x4 or whatever.
Like 1, 2, doesn't matter.
I was like, okay, this is faster, this is slower. And I should do what? You know, but it was nice. I mean, like, you know, if I go back to, let's say, like, to my timeline, there are many stories and small things which really matters on the end that I'm here.
That's what we call the ripple effect.
Exactly.
You throw a little rock into a really big lake,
yeah,
and then the ripples just go and go.
Yeah. But But you know,
and then so you started DJing in 1989. You were taught how to DJ.
Yeah.
And then what happens is house music came up, I guess.
Well, it was all about dance music. We didn't play like, you know, like hip hop or stuff like that.
It was all 4/4.
Yeah. It was like dance music,
funk.
and even like a techno and you know, like really whatever. I mean, like people didn't have the style what they have these days. They didn't.
No.
They are not coming with the cell phone.
House music.
Hey, can you play this?
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, you play this and you play that. You can play like, you know, like Felix, Don't You Want Me,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
People are, they don't know what is that one.
No.
But they're just dancing. Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
And now if you do the same,
yeah, they want to hear the hits that they already know.
Yeah. And that's the difference between, you know, 1989.
Let's
2020.
Let's park that one because that's actually interesting. I want to get back to that later. But first, I want to go back to you as yourself, Alex Kanadi, because you started mixing, you started doing all of that. But then there was also a moment that you started making your own music. And that must have been early 2000s, something like that.
Yeah, it was early 2000s. And I don't know why I started to do music. I think it was like, certain point, you get the feeling that you can't move forward without music.
Yeah.
And that was like the only way, because doesn't matter how well you play music, how well you play in front of the crowd, if you don't have own music. I was like, okay, and if that's the only key, how I could get music, mm-hmm, how I could learn myself even how to do music or how to ask from the singers or whatever, because I didn't have any musical background.
No.
So it was the same like 1989 when I started to play music as a DJ, as a hobby. This came along a little later on.
Yeah.
That it was like one rock more,
yeah,
to water. And I'm like, first modulation, early 2000, like you said.
It was with Heikel together?
Yeah, Heikel. Yeah, with Heikel. He's a super nice guy. And we did that, and he had his own things. And then 2007, Lifter.
Lifter came out on Black Hole Recordings.
Yeah. And that was the first release under my own name. And
So you started out, that was also the first, because you were played for the first time on air on State of Trance with Modulation.
Yeah.
You made Sky and White Flame under that name and more.
Yeah. And I think it was like a Spirit,
mm-hmm,
which came out on 2003. That went like really well. Like, you remember Judge Jules, he had amazing song on BBC Radio 1.
Yeah.
He really hammered modulation tunes, like, you know, week after week after week. So I think that was like the whole turning point.
That used to be the most important thing.
Ah, that was amazing.
Like on Monday morning, you would check the playlist of Josh Jules and Eddie Halliwell.
Yeah.
To see if your track was played on Radio 1.
And when he asked me to play to his Judgment Sundays to Ibiza. Wow, man. I was like, wow. I was like in heaven, really. I was like, wow.
I had the pleasure to play it once.
Yeah.
Judgment Sundays. And I was like, wow. This is like...
It was a really like rave thing. You know, it was a really like people, you know, they were there because of Jules, but you know, also because it was so damn cool music.
Yeah. I remember actually, this is a total sidetrack. That was also the first time I was in San Antonio because I'm Dutch, which means if you go to Ibiza, then you go to Playa Nambosa.
Okay.
When you're English, you go to San Antonio. So that was the first time I actually went there, was when I would play with Judgment Sundays. And I remember seeing all these British people fighting on the street, throwing bottles, you know, totally wasted. It was a total different experience than what I've seen before on Ibiza. Well, you probably have a different
but it was back then, it was way different. It was it was way wilder.
Yeah.
And now it's like more calm and clubbing and like that. And well, and also it was, well...
Not so expensive.
and more fighting also on the streets.
Yeah.
So now it's like a more like, cleaner and cooler and Ibiza even bigger than ever before.
Yeah.
It's like a big brand. I mean, like you can try to do Ibiza, you know, somewhere else or, you know, copy this on that, but you know, It's all
it's Ibiza
it's
is Ibiza. Yeah. They always say there's a new Ibiza, but there isn't.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And they always say there's a new Ibiza.
Yeah, but there doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's true. So let's go back to 2007, because that's the moment that you released your very first Alex Kunari single.
Yes.
Why did you start releasing Alex Kunari as like Alex Kunari? Because before that, like you said, you had Modulation, but this was your solo project.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, when you are doing music with someone else, there is always like, you know, okay, we do this together. But then there is a certain point that you like to start to get music to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And also like Heikki went to do music to himself.
Yeah.
So it always like that. But I don't say, you know, maybe one day we can do maybe one release together again under Modulation. Who knows? I mean, like, you know, Swedish House Mafia is back. You know what I mean?
Bring back Modulation.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, it was 2007 and Lifter, and then everything went up. I mean, like, you know.
And you released a lot of music. First of all, it was with Blackwater Recordings, Magic Music with...
yes, with
Tiesto. Because Tiesto used to play a lot of your stuff also. I remember that. And then... luckily, here at the State of Trends, we have quite some singles also done by yourself.
Quite many, yeah.
Just to name a few, I guess, Animals, Heart Will Follow, This Fire, Oceanic, Gotta Get Away. Is there
and
more?
And the Sundown, which Armin used to play, also in Ibiza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few in there. And then another moment came that Alex was like, I'm tired of this. I need something new again. That's the moment when AK started.
Yeah, true.
So I already asked you this on air on the episode as well, but if you, for the people that only listen to the podcast, explain to me, why did you park the name Alex Kunari after almost 15 years to start something new? And why wasn't it anything the same as Alex Kunari?
Well, it was like, the name is, AK is from my name, you know, the first letter from the Alex and the, from my last name, K, like it's the AK. So I start to think that, you know, okay, I need something fresh, you know, some fresh idea, fresh table, little different sound. And the main idea, it is to make music with super cool singers, mm-hmm. like this new one with Christian Burns. So that is the whole idea. But Alex Kunari is still going to stay there, but more like, let's say like rave, clubbing, maybe more like instrumentals and like that. And AK is more like Spotify friendly, more like you are in a car or home or wherever. Maybe also like you can hear maybe some remixes in the clubs.
Yeah.
But originals are more like a soul, like we are a moment. So that was the whole idea.
That's the music that you want to hear to when you're in the car, when you're listening to, or are you getting ready for a night out or something like that? More singer-songwriting.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the stories. It's all about the storylines. If you are really, really looking at our storylines, you will find the golden line.
Okay.
And that's the whole thing. It's let's say like this, that the music is more behind and the story is more up.
Yeah.
It's like a little other way around. Than Alex Kunari.
So your music is more supporting the singer-songwriter rather than to be something written for the clubs?
Yes.
Yeah.
And more like that you can just, you know, close your eyes, get the feeling, and you're like, wow. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then when you go to clubs, I think your eyes are wide open. You are dancing and it's a different world. But that's the whole idea.
Yeah. And you already mentioned it because... like you working with some big singer songwriters on the tracks. Your Christian Burns track just came out as well. But you also work with Bo Bruce, for example. Ways and Ways. How do you decide which singer songwriter you want to work with on the next record?
Well, I have own feeling that the music is like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I need voices around this range. And...
So when you make the instrumental, you already have in mind, okay, this is going to fit.
Never. Always vocals for AK are the first.
Okay.
Only maybe some piano or something like that, but no beat, no music whatsoever. Only maybe like a piano from the singer and the lyrics. And then here we go.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, because then singer don't have to think that, okay, okay, I can't sing on this note, or I can't go higher, I can't go lower. It's only
they have freedom, like 100% freedom.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a little different than I have done before.
Yeah, because probably in the past what you did is you created an instrumental, you sent it to the singer, and then you waited for
Then the singer is like, oh, I can't do this, or maybe it was super easy, but now it's like you said, singer goes first.
Interesting. So that's the philosophy of AK, basically.
Yeah, I'm behind.
Okay. So who's on the list for you right now that you really want to work with?
You mean...
like which vocalist, which singer?
I was thinking that you're asking that is it like some other artist? Like,
oh, we'll
like,
get to that. Like, we'll get to that.
there are so many names that I would like to work with. I mean, like really, really many ones, and let's say like this way that I'm taking all the time like new voices and new names. And also I'm looking the names like what Armin and Tiesto and those guys are using, and sometimes or Garrett, and sometimes I find something from there and I'm like, okay, this could be like really, really cool. Like Bo Bruce.
Yeah.
She had like amazing tune with Garrett.
You. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And same with Christian Burns in the dark with Tiesto back then. And then
Liz Live Between Us.
Yeah, with Armin.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I really, really would like to work with him. You know, that was like a dream, maybe somewhere in the future. But now, that's a reality.
Yeah.
So it's lots of searching, but also like thinking that, you know, what about this? What about that? And then, just simple one email and ask.
That's how you do it? You just send an email, I want to work with you, that's it?
I ask always direct.
Yeah.
There is no middle hands, there is no label who is asking. I'm always asking like, hey, it's Alex Cunari, would you like to do this? I send emails like that to Jennifer Renee or Bo Bruce and, you know, literally to everyone.
Did you ever get a no? That someone replied and I was like, I don't really want to do it.
I think not like that.
Let's put some shame on these artists.
Maybe more like that, that I don't get any feedback.
No reply. Okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's not only for me. I think this news is to everyone.
Yeah.
That, you know, just, you know, what's American Idols, X Factor, all those TV shows, because there are so many amazing voices.
True, yeah.
And you can spot like, okay, I would like to do like ambient sound or whatever, and you can find like, wow, that singer is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever work with someone from Finland?
Sorry?
Like, for example, that you were watching Finnish, I don't know, is there Idols in Finland or Finland Got Talent?
This is a little embarrassing. I have used it only one singer from Finland during the years, only one.
Yeah.
And sadly, she's passed away.
Oh, sorry.
So she's the only one. But I have never worked with the Finnish singers. And I don't know why. I have no idea. Maybe it is because I'm looking...
The grass is greener on the other side.
More like making like, okay, English singers and the singers from States. I think it's all about the English.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How they sing, how they say.
Yeah.
And for sure, we have maybe some good singers also in our country. But the writing
part is the hard part, because I had the same, when I sat in the studio a few weeks ago with Cassie J.
Yeah.
Of course, the singer from the Tune of the Year last year with Armin and Ali Fila. And while we were writing the lyrics, I came with solutions or with words. And she was like, yeah, but that's too easy. I'm like, why is it too easy? She said, well, you are not thinking as a person that is English or is trained or has English as a first language. And then I was like, damn, she's right. Like, it's a lot harder to write nice or interesting lyrics.
Yeah.
If it's not your first language.
Yeah. I have the same talk with Eric Lumiere.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, don't worry about the the lyrics. I know what to say. I know what to sing.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from here, but also from here.
Yeah.
And because you are not English, you don't understand the word and the meanings the same way. You just translate.
Yeah.
Same like, you know, Google. You have a Google inside your head and you're just, okay, I love you, baby. And you translate that.
Very true.
And but he is thinking everything other way around. And I think that's the reason why I'm using the singers mainly from UK or from States.
There's of course a lot of exceptions because
for sure.
I know there's a lot of really well-trained singer-songwriters here in the Netherlands. For example, the best example that I can give you is Diana Miro.
Yeah.
She's from Ukraine, and the lyrics that she writes are so smart. Hmm. Like, how do you do this? And I know Louise Rademakers and of course Dead Girls from South Africa and Carrie, Dutch singer as well. So there's exceptions to the rule, of course, but I guess it's easier if English is your first language, I guess.
Yeah.
And we should just stick to our trade and just write the music and don't write any lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like a little difficult to find those people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe, you know, if you are lucky, you can hear something like I heard now from you. I'm like, okay.
You're taking
And then tomorrow or when I'm back at the airport, I'm like, no, hello, that Ruben said like
the
this.
The thing is actually, the what a lot of people don't think about is that there's probably at least a billion people on this planet that have a nice singing voice.
For sure.
But it's about writing those songs that really touch hearts.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And that's a one in a million talent.
Beauty of music.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's park this also for a minute because I have a lot to address as well because you also started your own label, Multicolors Dreams.
Yes.
What can you tell about that?
That basically is my new baby and I'm using that here and there, but I don't have any like force inside my head that I have to get music out. I have to do this. I have to do that.
Yeah.
I'm using like your label, like ASOD or Backhaul, to release my music. But then, you know, I can also use my own label.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, some of my friends, they offer, let's say, like, you know, music here and there, and they still have like really, really good demos. Mm-hmm. In their box, and they are like, okay, would you like to release this? I'm like, okay, why? If that's good enough, I'm like, okay, why not? So the main idea is also like help the new names, fresh names. And,
yeah.
And because I know that it's really difficult to get your name out. Like example, like Armada or Black Hole or, you know, all the big labels, they get so many promos. So it's really difficult to stand up from there because they get the best promos from around the world.
Yeah.
So it was like my idea that, you know, if I can't, I would like to help some fresh names and new names and then, you know, that they can get the first step. And maybe, you know, then the next step is maybe like Armada or whatever.
Is it mostly Finnish talents that you're working with?
Yeah, at the moment, yeah. And maybe future also with, you know, some other artists. But like I say that, I don't have to release like new.
You're not forcing anything.
Like every Friday or once a month, whatever. When that is good enough, let's do it.
Yeah, awesome. I like that. All right, next one, because I mentioned Colors already. Multicolors is then the label. And then Colors, it's a staple, a monumental brand in Finland and outside of Finland as well, because if you threw so many events in Ibiza, which Nina, for example, didn't even know that she went to one of your events while she was in Ibiza years ago. That's
like,
awesome.
Okay, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Colors, the festival organization.
Well,
why did you start it, first of all?
You mean the clubs or the festivals?
Yeah, or both.
Well, the main idea for the events was quite simple and it's quite easy to understand. I mean, like 1995, I went to Ibiza to play for the first time ever. And after 5 years, I was brained enough to ask Chad Jules to come over to play to Helsinki. And I said to Jules that, you know, hey, what do you think that, you know, we have nothing like this. We don't have special events and we don't have anything like that. So it was like 99. He was like, hey, you know, let's do it. Let's start to do something together. And that's how I start Colors. And And it was the idea to bring something to our own country because we didn't have any clubs. We have some underground things, of course, because, you know, each country, they have different own underground small things.
Yeah, and 1999 was when Tiësto started blowing up in Norway, Hyperstate. And
yes.
Finland was coming, yes. Sweden was coming up.
Yes. Yeah. So the big thanks also goes to Jules because he asked some big names to come over to Helsinki.
Okay.
Like Oakenfold and like that. Maybe he don't remember any more of those things, but you know, he was like the one rock to water and
the ripple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's how everything.
So it all started with you playing in Ibiza for a few years.
Yeah.
You were like, hey, George Jules, you want to play in Helsinki? And then you were like, okay, now I have this artist. Now I have to organize an event.
I didn't have any idea how to do events. I didn't know, you know, how to rent sound system or light systems.
How did you do it?
I had a few friends around me and asked, you know, which kind like the sound system we should use and lights. But it was way back. It was so different back then. I mean, like if I even try to think the right words, I can't even explain.
You only needed a stage, some turntables, and speakers. That's and then security.
And some smoke and some strobos and
strobos all there was.
Yeah. But yeah, and then you know we started from there, and then you know everything went like bigger and bigger, and you know. Of course, like few last years because of COVID, we went quite small. And then like 2011, I had a dream that maybe one day we can have a big EDM festival in our country. And that was the time when I started Summer Sound Festival.
Yeah.
Where you played. Yeah, last summer.
Year. August.
This summer.
Yeah,
this July. Summer. Yeah.
July. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like the summer thing. And 2016, I start the next one, and the next project was this Electric Festival, and the first episode was like with Tiësto and you know, Zach Noel and. I don't remember any more the names. I'm like, okay, I should remember. But anyway, that was the whole thing that, you know, club events and more club events and even more club events. We used to do like, you know, every week or, you know, every Friday and Saturday and then, you know, once a month and then Ibiza and then some shows in Estonia, some shows in Sweden and then... little later on festivals and no one knows what is going to happen in the future, but this is where we are at the moment. But of course, I haven't done anything. I haven't done everything alone.
No, it's a whole group of people.
Yeah. It's not only me who is there. There are many people who are behind.
Yeah. Well, talking about many other people, what is it that, why is it that the progressive trends or the trends is such a, it's really a Finnish sound, I feel. Because when you look at the names that you have, of course, my buddies, Lumisade, Super Aiden Tab, Orchidea, you know, those guys are just rocking the scene right now.
Tempo Giusto.
Tempo Giusto is doing fantastic as well. So
Tom Fall, Darude.
Yeah, Darude, of course, Villa. Yeah.
I mean, like there are so many good.
So it's a huge country, of course, but it's such a small country in
Finnish trance mafia.
But how is it that you guys are such a strong sound?
I don't know. I mean, like it's maybe because our country is more like for like rock and roll and stuff like that, and more to dark side.
Yeah.
So maybe that is also
why the song festival.
So maybe that is also like little like a truth why trance music is also working because it's like harder and it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also of course these days also like techno and house music is also working. But I don't know. I have think what you just said like so many times that why trance music is working so well in Finland. I don't know, but it's been like that. But maybe because we have so many good Finnish producers.
Yeah. And also, I think it's very important not to underestimate that you have such a strong brand for clubbing that people get introduced to the music all the time. And you also kept true to the sound, also to keep promoting progressive and trance throughout all the years that you've thrown events instead of just taking a step to whatever was hot.
Doesn't matter what people are saying. It's all about the music.
Yeah.
It's always been like that. And it's always going to be like that because that is the thing. I mean, like, you know, sometimes events are bigger, sometimes smaller,
mm-hmm.
but only the music matters.
Amen. And that's very true. I have a few questions actually also from the fans. Who inspired you to be a DJ? That's a question by Shai Kaza. So who was your main inspiration? Who was your example as a DJ when you started out?
When I started, back then, no one, because, you know...
You didn't know any.
Yeah, and it was so like, it was like many, many years. But then, you know, when I start to play like in Ibiza, 95, I start to see the names like, you know, like Tiesto and Armin and Carcox and Brandon Block, Jeremy Healy, and the names like that, Topol, and I was like, okay, who those are, and you know why the DJs and why this business is so huge and like that. So I think all those names together are the one that, you know,
It was the movement that inspired you, basically.
Yeah. Not like one name, more like, you know, all together.
The rise of the whole industry was inspiring.
Yes. Yes.
That's a good answer. Elena Sixena-Luca always has good questions. She asks, what is your favorite track from yours and why? That's the hardest question.
this is like, you know, if I say this, then I get like really angry messages from some other singers. They are like, oh yeah, you don't like my, you know, the release, which we have done.
Hey, we like to poke a little bit, so.
I know. But you know, I have to say that it is this new one.
With Christian,
yeah, because
it was on your bucket list.
Yeah, and because of the storyline, and also like you know, when I send an email to him, and when we start to talk, and I explain to him that is there any chance that we could get like little same the dark feeling which you had when you had the release out with Armin and especially with Tiesto, that In the Dark. And I remember I waited and waited those vocals like, you know, like a children's are waiting Christmas. and finally when I get, I was like, man, wow. I was like, you know, like a young boy, and you know, I was like, wow, nice. And maybe because of that storyline, that is something which is so pure and beautiful, and it's coming from the heart.
Awesome. Well, we have to ask Christian Burns, because there's a red line, I think, between all the tracks that he produced, because you had This Light Between Us, In the Dark, and now Let's Be the Light with you, right?
True.
So it's all light and dark.
Yeah, if you say like that, it is.
Does he sit in a room and switches on the light and off the light and then see, am I going to write about the dark or the light today? No, I'm just kidding, Christian. Christian is amazing. Nice, such a talented vocalist and singer-songwriter. DJ Sean Matthews, he wrote a question. Will we see another collab with Sean Matthews?
Yeah. He's been asking like that from me, like...
I'm just a messenger.
I know that, but he's really, really nice guy. And we had that Lifter remix out like a few years back. And after that, he has asked like many times that, you know, when we are going to do the first release together.
Yeah.
And we still haven't done that. But Sean, I don't know which camera you are looking. Maybe there, this one, one or maybe that one. Sean, 2023.
Okay, Sean, there you have it, the scoop. And also, now we're talking about scoop, because at the end of the episode, you, out of nowhere, you dropped a bomb. I'm working on the album.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit already what you can share about the album.
Oh, man. it's going to be full of like vocal releases, like AKs, and
like really a listening to album.
Yeah, and many releases are going to be sad stories, let's say like this way, because I like to reach people. I like to reach you, even that you are behind there. I like to reach you like this, it is going to be more like an album that you like to listen over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are going to be some releases from. I don't say too much. Let's keep.
No one's listening. Like, come on.
Let's say like this: that you know, next summer when the album is out, I come. Oh, sorry, did I say next summer? But yeah,
Keep going.
2022, when the album is out, I will come back and I will explain to you why this is like this, why number two is like this, why number three is like this.
Also, okay, I have one more question myself. Before we're going to close it off, because knowing that you've been throwing parties for more than 20 years, what is the weirdest thing an artist has ever put on his rider? So the rider is the contract that promoters organized need to sign, like hospitality or sound system. So what is the weirdest thing an artist ever asked of you?
Well, like you know that all the contracts are signed, and you can't say everything. you can't.
There's no end.
Yeah, but
you don't have to say a name. Say
I don't. I'm not going to say a name, but because otherwise we have so much.
Just call an item.
Yeah, exactly. But let's say like this: that one artist from your country. I don't say the names.
Okay. Well, skip trivia.
But it was like. Like the hotel room, of course, needs to be like this and that. But those red roses around the room.
Really?
And you are a guy.
Interesting. Now I'm really wondering who it was. So
maybe that was also a test that have you really read?
Yeah.
Because I had asked that really.
Yeah.
But they never sent. Any reply back to him. Maybe that was like, same like, you know.
Did you do it? Was it done or no?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We ordered roses. and that was same like, you know, one artist, they had like on the rider where all the drinks and stuff like that are, that we need like one panda. Who knows? Yeah, panda.
Panda, okay.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like Kung Fu.
What?
Exactly. I was like, I try to think that, you know,
Kung Fu Panda.
I try to think that, is this some secret somehow that I should understand that this is something else? But I asked and they sent reply back to me that, you know, no, that's nothing. But now we know that
you read
have,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice.
So maybe those things there are, you know, that, Okay. He has read it all.
Interesting. That's interesting. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Thanks, man.
So next year in the summer, you're going to be back here in the studio again. And because I have so much more questions for you, but we'll keep that for that moment because we are way over time already. So
again,
thank you so much for answering these questions and good luck with everything. And congratulations with the release with the single with Christian Burns. That's it. Last words to our friends in Finland or in anywhere? The last words are for you.
Thank you.
That's it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming by. Next time we're going to be back with another podcast with no other than Kieran McCauley is going to be here. So see you next time for a new podcast. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. To check full episodes of A State of Trance for free. Simply visit armandradio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.